You're good.
Yes?
Yep.
We're rolling? Okay. Erev Tov, Rabotai. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. So, we're continuing with this this series, and it seems to be quite popular because people are asking about other things. So last time we spoke about Sephardi versus Ashkenazi tefillin, and if you're stuck. Today we're going to talk about more tefillah. Now, tefillah is a very, very, very big... very big topic. It's much more common to get stuck by an Ashkenazi tefillah than to get stuck with Ashkenazi tefillin, right? And there are differences, and I want to preface the discussion with the following. There's a famous Ari HaKadosh in Shara Kavanot. Rabbeinu Chaim Vital quotes the Ari in Derush LeTefillah. He says that every nosach in Am Yisrael, there are different nuschaot. There's Sfarad, Ashkenaz, Chabad, there's different nuschaot. Every nosach of tefillah in Am Yisrael corresponds or goes up to the Kisei HaKavod in its dedicated, in its designated tzino. There's a pipe. There are 12 pipes altogether corresponding to the 12 Shvatim, and each nosach gets one pipe. But he says the nosach of Eidot HaMizrach, the nosach of tefillah of the Sfaradim ve'Eidot HaMizrach, goes up all 12 pipes, which means it's kind of unipipe in that it's able to, it's not limited, the nosach is not limited to one pipe. Now, it's a Kabbalistic concept, I'm not going to expand on it too much, but just to show you, these are the words of the Ari HaKadosh, I didn't say that. The Kav Chaim brings it down, Rav Pa'alim brings it down. So much so, the Ari HaKadosh understood this, you know, biologically, for lack of a better term, the Ari HaKadosh was Ashkenazi. His last name was? Luria Ashkenazi, yeah, but Luria was his last name. He was not first cousins, but you know, further cousin with the Maharshal Rabbeinu Shlomo Luria, who was one of the greatest poskei Ashkenaz. His mother was Sfaradia, that is true. The Ari HaKadosh's mother was Sfaradia, but his father was Ashkenazi. His father passed away when he was very young, and his mother took him to Egypt when he was very young, and he grew up there until later on in life. He passed away at a very young age, but he. He moved to Tzfat later on, but he grew up in Mitzrayim. He went with his mother and grew up with his mother and uncle. So later on in life, although he was Ashkenazi, because of the shita that the Ari HaKadosh had, he actually switched to pray in Nosach, what we call Nosach Ha'ari. Nosach Ha'ari is the building blocks. It's the basis for what you see in the Sidurim for Nosach Eidot HaMizrach, is the Nosach of the Ari, and he changed from his Nosach Ashkenaz because he felt it was more correct and more beneficial to pray in that Nosach. Not only that, not only among the Mekubalim do we find that among many Poskei, not many, but several Poskei Ashkenaz as well. Agaon Chatam Sofer brings from his Rebbe, if you look in Shelot Tshuvot Chatam Sofer, Chelek Aleph, Or HaChaim, Siman Tetvav. Over there, the Chatam Sofer brings down two of his Rebbeim who were full-blood Ashkenazim, you know, as Ashkenaz, meaning from Germany, the most Ashkenazi that you can get. First and foremost, his Rebbe, who he calls the Kohen HaGadol, Hagaon Rav Natan Adler, Zechet Tzadik Livracha Kohen, and his other Rebbe, Hagaon Rav Pinchas Alevi Ish Horvitz, famous author of... Sefer Afla'ah, yeah, or the Sefer HaMikna, which the Ashkenazim called a Makneh. That's incorrect. It's based borrowed from a pasuk in Sefer Yemina, va'ikach et Sefer HaMikna. So it's actually with a chirik, not with a patach. So you read many, many famous fanim. Sefer Afala, Sefer HaMikna. So that was the Chassam Sefer's Rebbe also. Gaon Gadol. His brother was one of the most famous admorim. Originally, they were Ashkenazim, they were Misnagdim. But his brother actually brought the hafla over to the side of the Hasidut. His brother was Rav Shmelka Nicholsburg, the brother of the Hafla'ar of Pinchas Alevi Ish Horvitz, and he brought him over to the Chozem Lublin to Chassidus. It's a very, very interesting story. So he brings his, Chassam Sofer quotes his two Rebbeim that actually later in life adopted Tfilah Kenosach HaSfaradim because they felt that it was more correct. Not only that, Rav Nosson Adler spent his own money. He brought over a Gaon Sfaradi from Turkey. His name was a Gaon Rabbi Chaim Moda'i. He shipped him over from Turkey to Germany at the time, or Germany or Austria-Hungary, whatever, you know, whatever the territories were at the time, to teach him not only the Nosach, but the proper bitui, mivta, and havara, the pronunciation, keminhag ha-sfaradim, and it took him 3 years. He stayed there with Rav Nosson Adler for 3 years, and he paid him. Huh? Well, I don't know. But it took him 3 years to learn all the things. And since that day, Rav Nosson Adler not only changed his nosach, but he also changed his miftah to the Sfaradim, and he let nobody else serve a shliach tzibur in his shul besides for him. After that. So, now. That being said, says the Chassam Sofer, don't get any ideas. Although he quotes his Rebbein as having done that, the Chassam Sofer vehemently defends sticking with Nosach Ashkenaz for the tefillah. Yeah, although towards the end of his life, the Chassam Sofer had nitiot, you know, historically when he went to Hungary, to Pressburg, that's more of an Oberlander city, which is where there are a mix of a little bit Hasidish-ish, but the Chassam Sofer himself wasn't Hasidish. The Chassam Sofer himself was Yekke. He was from Germany, from Frankfurt. Anyway, Mikon Makom, so the Chassam Sofer himself did not follow in the footsteps of his Rebbeim in this regard. He did not change his Nosach HaTfilah, although he brings that there were Poskei Ashkenaz who did, besides for the Ari HaKadosh. Now, why am I telling you all this? It's because I want you to appreciate fully the power and the importance of adhering to the Nosach HaTfilah and the Mivtah of the Sfaradim. I'll tell you a very interesting story, hot off the press. Just happened this evening as I was walking into the yeshiva. Listen to this. Just happened now. Like I told you many times before, I don't know if I said it here, but my Talmidim know, I'm kind of a chameleon. You know what I mean by that? Huh? Well, not the hats necessarily, but huh? I blend in very well to any environment I find myself in, whether it's an Ashkenazi one, or a Sephardi one, or a Moroccan one, or a Persian one, or a Bukharian one, whatever it is, just I find myself usually very easily blending in. Now, Baruch Hashem, it's a gift that Hashem gave. I happen to be half and half, half Sephardi, half Ashkenazi, so that works to my advantage, but I'll tell you what happened this evening. I don't know if you realize, but I'm sure you do, Landers is and Chavetz Chaim, you're in very close proximity to a very formidable Muslim population, like in the immediate area, in these buildings, you know, Cassina, Parsons, there's a lot of Muslims. Yeah, there's a lot.
Yeah,
you see them on the streets, whatever. So what happened was, this evening as I was parking and getting out of the car, there was some Muslim elderly man walking by. He was, you know, very noticeably Muslim. And, you know, some people listen to their music on earphones. He wasn't. He was listening to his music on his phone, and it was playing loud in the street as he's walking by. So I decided, on the spot, I said, you know what, I'm going to do a social experiment. What am I going to do? So I said, like this. So I was walking in, I was a few minutes early, and, you know, I heard the music, and I recognized the song. So as it's playing, it's playing the music, and then it gets to the stanza, the words start. So I just start humming to myself a little bit louder. I'm in the street, I don't want to scream. But as I'm walking in, I'm not going to sing the song for you, but I start singing the words in Arabic. So, and then I see him, he's like getting confused because I'm singing along with the phone. So he's looking at the phone, but then he hears the words coming from behind him also. So he's not sure exactly what's going on. And then I stop for a second, then he's listening to the phone. And then the next line starts and I start again. I start singing in Arabic. Anyway, so then he turns around and looks at me. And then he sees this white man, you know, in a suit and tie with a kippah, whatever. He looked at me, he was gaping. He's like, so confused. Imam just didn't chab. But, huh? Yeah, anyway.
I don't recognize this song.
Chazan, huh? It's called Zay al Hawa by Abdel Khalim Hafiz. Yeah, anyway, Bikitsur. Yeah. Bikitsur, Mikol Makom, huh? Yeah. He's a very famous Iraqi singer. So, Mikol Makom, what I'm trying to tell you is that, by the way, you should know also that many, if not most, of Gdolei HaPoskim HaSfaradim in the previous generation, especially those that were Porat Yosef educated, were professional chazanim, korim ba Torah. This was what they did for not only because they enjoyed it, they also did it for Parnasa. Maran Zichron Bracha was a masterful chazan. Agaon Chamitzion, Alav Hashalom, was also a masterful chazan. You see, all of the gedonim from the previous generation, they were all very into dikduk, kriya b'Torah, chazanut. Because you have to know, especially among the Sfaradim, when you're in yeshiva and you go places, how many times does it happen to ask you, okay, bichazan, okay, seyed rasha, okay, nachon? Because when you're in yeshiva, especially by Sfaradim, they expect a lot from you. Yeah. Sometimes you say, no, I don't have what to say. I don't want to. So what do you go to yeshiva for, right? It doesn't register that there's other things that we do in yeshiva besides for singing and giving drashot and stuff like that. But mikol makom, there is something to be said, at least among the Sfaradim, from time immemorial, it is part of the, you know, Gdolei Sfarad were usually jack of all trades. Not only in their erudition of the Torah, in their mastery of the Torah, but also in other, mikol machmanei Torah. So much so, I think I've shared with you before, there's a famous Kaf HaChaim in Hilchot Kriyat Shema. Siman Samach Aleph Saif Katan Nun Vav. And over there he writes, the Halachan Shulchan Aruch is that a person should be medakdek when he reads Kriyat Shema. There's a famous Gemara in Brachot that Kol HaKoreh Kriyat Shema Umedakdek Ba'otiyoteha Mitzananim Lo Gehinam, that if a person reads Kriyat Shema and is careful, is very precise with the letters and the nikud of Kriyat Shema, they cool down Gehinam for him.
It's a Gemara.
And the Shulchan Aruch brings it down also in Siman Samach Aleph. And the Kaf HaChaim explains why is that. He says, Mida keneged mida. Listen carefully. Why? A person's teva, he says, is to be cham, ish, always doing everything quickly, quickly, fire, fire. In order to be medakdik, in order to read bedikduk, what do you have to do? You have to slow yourself down. You got to calm that fire. You have to tame that fire. Mida keneged mida. If you tame your natural fire in order to be medakdik, b'kriyat shema, Hashem says, I'll tame my fire as well. I'll tame the fire of Gehinnam, I'll cool it down when you get there. Yeah. If you get there. Yeah, Mikol Makom says, so it's a big, big, big thing. And says the Kaf HaChaim, it's not only with regards to Kriyat Shema, it's by Ol Tefillah. And it's not only by Ol Tefillah, it's by Limud HaTorah as well. Any Limud has to be like, now I'm not saying that if especially when you're in yeshiva and single, it's very common, and I did the same thing, that at least you're learning, you do in Ashkenazi. Yeah, nachon, that's usually, at least for many Sephardi students in Ashkenazi yeshivas. But tefillah, at least, bevadai uvevadai, there's no excuse whatsoever, tachat kol hashamayim, for a person to be praying in a nosach that's not his own, or in a havara, or a mivta, in a pronunciation that's not his own. You have to make very, very certain of that. So much so, Maran Zichron Baruch Hu quoted many poskim. What's the halacha? You know, in many yeshivas, unless there's somebody with a yard site, who's shliach tzibur, who's the chazan in the yeshivas?
Rotation.
Right? They have a rotation of the guys, and then they have rotations. Maran Zichron Baruch Hu was not a fan of Sfaradim participating in chazan rotations in Ashkenazi yeshivas. Because by doing so, you're putting yourself in a position where you're going to have to sacrifice your regular nosach, even though you're right, the private parts of your tefillat lachash and everything, you're still doing your own, nachon? But at least the loud parts, and there are minor differences, any tweak that you do to the nosach can have major impact, not to say that you're not yotze, of course you're yotze, but there could be things that you are messing up, quote-unquote, in the olamot ha'elyonim by changing your nosach. It's not for naught that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made you be born a Sfaradi and him be born an Ashkenazi. And all of the minhagim in Am Yisrael are legitimate. They all come from Masorot Kedoshot. But at the end of the day, you got to stick. Al titosh Torat Imecha. So Maran Zichron Baruch Hu was not a fan of going up to be a chazan by Ashkenazi yeshivas if there's a way out of it. Yeah.
In theory, according to that, though, if somebody is on the nosach of a higher nosach, you can't go down to kedusha in itself. So why is there an allowance to pray nosach Ashkenaz by a shliach tzibur?
Meaning what?
Yeah, the tefillah itself, as you just said prior, is the over the 12 shiatos kedusha itself.
Yeah.
That's the higher nosach. You can't go down to kedusha.
So yeah, well, don't tell that to Ashkenazim. They're not going to appreciate
that.
I mean, it's funny because the Ari HaKadosh was Ashkenazi and he said it. He says you're not supposed to switch.
Exactly. From, no. So why are we allowed to for a year for Shlach Tzibur?
That's exactly what I'm saying. I'm not saying you're allowed to. I'm saying because of that, you shouldn't.
No, but why preferably, is it a heter? Why are we allowed in the first place?
But why are you not allowed?
Why are we allowed to switch our nosach to that?
I mean, again, you have to know what the situation is. There are several situations. I'll tell you, Ma'aseh Sha'aya. There's a shtibel here in the neighborhood called Kasatara. I don't know if you know. There's a shtibel. Anyway, so, you know, there are times where I have to go daven there. And they don't even daven nosach Ashkenaz. What do they daven over here? Ashkenaz or Sfarad?
Ashkenaz.
I don't know. Which is interesting because in Ar Chaim they daven Sfarad. Interesting. Yeah. Huh? They in Ar Chaim they daven Sfarad because Dr. Lander was Hasidish. He came from a Hasidish family. So Rabbi Lander in Ar Chaim, he instituted nosach Sfarad. Interesting to know why they instituted. Can you find out?
Rosh Lovitz, probably.
Yeah, that's why they did nosach Ashkenaz. Okay, could be. Now, anyway. But I know for a fact that in Ar Chaim they do Sfarad. Anyway, but in Keser Torah they also do Nosach Sfarad, and Nosach Sfarad is close, it's more reminiscent of Aidot HaMizrach than Ashkenaz, but it's still pretty different. There are very big differences in the Nosach. So, you know, when I go there, I daven as part of the Kahal. There were several times where, you know, sometimes there are situations, if you don't go up, the minyan doesn't start. You know what I'm saying? When nobody's going up and it just stuck, and the time for the minyan comes and nobody's going up. So you just have to step up to the plate. Yeah, otherwise, it's not going to move. There were other times when the Rav of Keseter of Rosenblatt, Rav Shalom, when he was alive, he asked me to go up for the Amud. So many times, Lalacha, as the Shulchan Aruch says, what are you supposed to do if you're offered Shliach Tzibur? Preferably, B'derech Shel Kavod, unless it's the Rav. Unless it's the Rav, because over there, Mishum Kavod HaTorah, so over there you go up right away. So I used to tell him, even though Mishum Kavod HaTorah, I said, he, you know, it's Faradi, so I said, I don't feel so comfortable. It's a different, I daven a different nosach. My Havara is a little, I would not bring down my Havara to daven with a, you know, I wouldn't daven with a Sephardi sitter that you don't do. The Minhaga Makom is to daven nosach Sfarad, so I would daven over there. I said, go ahead, don't worry, go do it. I said, the Rav doesn't mind if I go up and use the Sephardi pronunciation. He says, no, go ahead, b'chavod. So there were certain times where I did that because the Rav had asked me, but otherwise, in general, I don't like to do that because at the end of the day, even if he lets you pray with your own nosa, with your own mivtah, but you're still mishu'abad to their nosach, which is not the best. And that's besides, that's in a regular tefillah. Sometimes by serving as shliach tzibur by Ashkenazim, you get into other issues as well, not only about changing nosachot tefillah, but also with regards to possible differences in minhagim, which can cause at least sfeke brachot levatala. For instance, Tfilat Arvit of every day. You know, by Ashkenazim in Chutz La'aretz, they have a whole third bracha after Hashkivenu. They say, Baruch Hashem le'olam amen ba'amen. Interestingly, it's not only Ashkenazim who say it. Moroccans also, if you look in Moroccan Siddur, they don't say the whole Nosach, but the last paragraph, Yiru enenu v'yismach libenu, Baruch Ata Hashem, Melech la'kol ha'aretz. Huh? Yeah, there's different minhagim, but now, huh?
It's supposed to be every single.
Different cities in Morocco did different things, and not only that, Tunisian. I mean, for the most part, many North African Sfaradim. You know what the North African communities of Sfaradim are? Keilot Emet, Maza Emet, Algeria, Morocco, Tunisia. Yeah, so those are the Keilot Emet of North Africa. So even though we were bunched up with Keilot Aidot HaMizrach, really, Moroccans and North Africans, they're not Mizrach. North Africa is not Mizrach. Mizrach means Mizrach HaTichon, the Middle East. North Africa ain't the Middle East. It's pretty close, but it's not the Middle East. The only one, the only Kehillah, in the only Sephardic North African Kehillah that has zero Shaychis Minhagwise to the other three that I just said right now is?
Gibraltar?
No. Also a little bit, but Egypt. Egypt also is in North Africa. You know that. But they came at zero resemblance to the minhagim of Morocco and Algeria, and almost full resemblance to the minhagim of Halab, of Syria and Lebanon. It's a very interesting way that happened, because a lot of the Syrian Jews moved to Mitzrayim. A very interesting thing historically. Bekol makom rabotai, Maran HaShulchan Aruch, and Siman Resh Lamed Vav, he writes, Mefurash, that this thing of Yiru Inenu V'Yismach Libenu, this third bracha at night, is subject to Minhag HaMakom. But since our Minhag is not to say it, what happens, we're hour. I'm, I happen to be Moroccan, but according to Shulchan Aruch and according to Rov HaSfaradim today that we don't say it, what happens if you find yourself being Shliach Tzibur by Ashkenazim? What do you do then? Do you say the Baracha? Could be Safek Baracha Levatalav, it's not Yom Minhag. That being said, what I usually do if I'm Chazan by Ashkenazim in dire circumstances is I would tend to skip the Baracha, which means just wait, let the Tzibur Shel Ashkenazim say the Baracha, and then at the end, I just go straight to Kaddish. That's what I would do. But there are certain times, what do you do if you're Chazan on Rosh Chodesh, or on Chol HaMoed, or on days where there's only Chatzi Halin? If there's, well, not Chol HaMoed Sukkot, but I'm saying Chol HaMoed Pesach. If there's Chatzi Halin, Minhag HaAshkenazim is to say, to make a bracha, Likro Ta Halin, Tchila Vasof, to make a bracha. Not only Minhag HaAshkenazim, Minhag HaRif, Minhag HaRosh, there's many North African Jews also who say, Bracha on Halil Berosh Chodesh, Likro et Halil. Not Ligmor, Ela Likro et Halil. You have Ashkenazim never say Ligmor et Halil. Ashkenazim always will say Likro. That's Minhag Rama. But there are some Sfaradim, like I said, Keilot Emet, do recite a Bracha Tchila Vasof on Halil of Rosh Chodesh. But Maran Shulchan Aruch in Siman Tav Kavet writes Meforash that Da'at Rambam and Minhag Eretz Yisrael Mitzrayim Uglilotea, Eretz Yisrael and all of the surrounding countries, was like Da'at Rambam, not to make any bracha at all anytime you say a Chatzi Halil. So what happens if that's your Minhag? And what happens if you're praying by Ashkenazim all of a sudden Rosh Chodesh and they're waiting for you to make a bracha? What do you do then? You know, that's not only a Tshuva Nichave Da'at, Chelek Dal Et Siman Lamed Hei, it's also a Tshuva that Maran Zichron Bracha quotes from the Chida in Chaim Sha'al. He was asked this question. And Be'emet, the Chida comes out, as does the Yichave Da'at, that over there you cannot, even though you're in a different Tzibur, but that your personal Minhag does not allow you to make a Bracha that otherwise would have been Safek Bracha Levatala for you. You can't do that. Not only that, not only can you not make the Bracha, Da'at Maran HaShulchan Aruch, I shouldn't say Maran HaShulchan Aruch because it's not clear, but at least Da'at Maran Zichron Bracha in Yichave Da'at, where he disagrees with the Mishnah Berurah in Biur HaLacha, if you look in Biur HaLacha, Siman HaShtet Vav, he writes over there, what happens, very common, forget about going up for Shliach Tzibur. Give me at least three brachot that Ashkenazim make during the course of the day that we don't. Three. Yeah. Okay, so even if they do, that's... That, we could make a bracha on tzitzit, we just make it anyways on the talit and we pater. What else? Halel on Rosh Chodesh, give me another one.
Woman in the circle.
Okay. Yeah.
Why more than that? Huh? It would be most of the brachot for Shacharit that
put women on. I mean, I shouldn't say it that way, but let's leave women out of this discussion for a second. Yiruinenu bismach libenu in Arvit.
Do they say Kaddish
Shemo Barabim? Some Ashkenazim will say Baruch Ata Hashem Hamkaddish Shemo Barabim. Some do. Okay, so that's a bunch. Yeah. In the course of the day, there's many brachot that Ashkenazim
Baruch
are saying, but we can't. Huh? We say B'Shem HaMalchut. Yeah. The Ben Ish Chai says not to say Birkat HaMapil with
B'Shem HaMalchut.
That what?
Ben Ish Chai says Minhag.
Ben Ish Chai says the Minhag of Baghdad, and that's what he always did, no matter when he goes to sleep, before or after Chatzot, to not say Birkat HaMapil ever with Shem HaMalchut. However, Maran Zichron Baruch vehemently disagrees with that, and he says, Elo Nachon, Ledaat Maran HaShulchan Aruch, Kedaat HaShas, you make Birkat HaMapil b'Shem HaMalchut, whether you go to sleep before or after Chatzot, v'chein halacha
le'maaseh. And even according to Ben Ishchai, he says it's according to Minhag, so if a person has a Minhag.
Yeah, he says you can, yeah. Now, as follows, that being said, throughout the course of the day, if you're next to an Ashkenazi, that's making brachot that are not keminhagecha, the answer amen to his bracha or no?
No.
No.
Cannot.
When you answer amen to a person's bracha, what would logic dictate? Do you follow the legitimacy of the bracha as it's being said by the mevarech, or do you follow the legitimacy of the bracha by the person answering amen? Nafkamina being, you tell me the nafkamina. If an Ashkenazi makes a bracha of Asher Kiddushanu Mitzvah Tzivanu al Mitzvat Tefillin, then what? For the mevarech, it's a legitimate bracha. That Shitat Rama, that Ashkenazim, they don't actually do like Rabbeinu Tam, because Rabbeinu Tam actually says to make a bracha. They say the bracha quietly, and after they put on the tefillin, what do? They say Baruch Shem, in order to be Yotzei Kol HaShitot. Now, yeah, that's what they do. But anyway, according to the Mevarich, he's doing Kishitat Rabotav. According to our poskim, Lida'at Arif, Ve'Rambam, Umaran HaShulchan Aruch, if you didn't speak, between Sheliad and Shelerosh, Birkat Leaniach Tefillin is enough to cover both Sheliad and Shelerosh. So if you're making Birkat on Mitzvah Tefillin needlessly, that's what we call a Bracha Levatala. So if that's the case, for me, it would be a Bracha Levatala. So can I answer Amen to a Bracha that I would consider Bracha Levatala, but the Mvarich wouldn't? So now, the Mishneh Berurah brings down, I told you, Resh Tetvav in Bi'ur Alacha. He brings down over there, B'Shem Yerushalmi, that the Yerushalmi brings down whether or not Birkat Borei Nefashot, we know it starts with Baruch Atah Hashem, does it end with, is there a Chatimah Baruch Atah Hashem also? Baruch Atah Hashem, Chaya Olamim or not? The Talmud Yerushalmi does bring down such a shita. The Bavli does not. We don't say it. The question of the Mishnah Berurah is, if a person has a minhag, let's say, like the Yerushalmi, to end off, Baruch Atah Hashem Chaya Olamim, can you answer Amen or not, even though it's not your minhag, even though it's not our Psak Halacha? Mishnah Berurah holds, yes, you can. Manan Tzachon Baracha quotes the Sinyach HaVedat, and he says that it's incorrect. Why? He brings a Tshuvat Rambam, that it's fair to say, because since these Tshuvot are pretty, I mean, they're not new, but they were newly discovered in the past, you know, few decades, so it's possible that the Mishnah Berurah didn't have access to this Tshuvat Rambam. Tshuvat Rambam writes that Safek Amen Levatala is just as bad as Safek Bracha Levatala. So he says you have to be very careful. Over here, is it Safek Amen Levatala? Yes. Why? Because according to me, it's Bracha Levatala. According to our poskim, it's Bracha Levatala. So therefore, you have to be machmir not only to say the bracha, not to say the bracha, but also not to answer amen. So these are things that a person has to take into consideration, and certainly, certainly, not to be, you know, when a person's a little bit younger, because of peer pressure and stuff like that, sometimes a person a little bit upset. Now he says, okay, now, Gatorade. That's the stuff they go like nachon by the football.
Yeah.
When they win, they pour it on them. No, yeah. That's the minhag. Is that minhag shalem? Yeah. So the kitzur. I used to like football when I was a kid. And we used to in elementary school. They used to let us play tackle football only when it snowed. Only when it snowed. So we used to play tackle football.
Every day in Canada.
Huh?
Every day in Canada.
They don't play. They play football in Canada.
Yes, yeah, CFL.
Anyway, Bekitzur, no, they don't get it. Anyway, Bekitzur. So, Na'azov oto miskin, ze tov, ze makom tov. Makom shel Torah. Toronto and Montreal, ze shem arbe Torah. There's a lot of gedolei chachamim over there, a lot of gedolei poskim. So, mikol makom, never, ever, ever, chas v'shalom, to be ashamed of your own masoret. You know, sometimes when you're younger and peer pressure, so you feel a little bit weird. You know, I remember when I was bar mitzvah and at you know, Sheni v'chamishim, when you go to read in school and whatever, and everybody's Ashkenazim, so I was a little bit ashamed. That's good if you're like a, you know, if you're 13, if you're a little teenager, to be mitbayesh. But when you grow up and you get a little bit more mature, you understand that every masoret in Am Yisrael is based on zahav tahor. Everything over there is based on poskim, sfarim, sofrim. What do you have to be ashamed about? You have gdolei poske Ashkenaz that jumped ship from their own, not minagim, but from their own noschaot, to jump on the Aidot HaMizrach bandwagon. And you're ashamed? What are you kidding? This, you have the Ari HaKadosh telling you that it goes up all 12 mesilot, all 12 pipes, and you're telling me you're ashamed? There's nothing to be ashamed about. You're, on the contrary, even Ashkenazim understand, there's a tshuva in Kovetz Teshuvot, which maybe we'll speak about next time, about hearing different things, Kriyat HaTorah, Kiddush, Kriyat HaMegillah, things like that, in different havarot and different pronunciations, some that you understand, some that you don't. Are you yotze? Are you not yotze? Rav Eliashiv writes, he says, Meforash, all poskei Ashkenaz understand that certainly the way that the Sfaradim enunciate is closer to how the Avot HaKadoshim spoke, how Moshe Rabbeinu spoke, just what? They're still sticking to their minhagim because the importance of Masoret in Am Yisrael. What do you, in Talmud Bavli, the Tanaim, Amoraim, you think they were speaking, you know, the way the Ashkenazim speak today? That's not true. It's Bavel. Bavel is what?
Bavli.
Iraq. What do you think they're talking German? They spoke Aramit and you know, with thick guttural accents. Yeah? It's Bavel. Lachen, Rabotai, lo litbayesh. Chas v'shalom, not to be mitbayesh from your own masoret. If you're not there yet, so learn. But chas v'shalom, never to try to conceal it or try to suppress it, because the beauty of Am Yisrael is this potpourri of all of the different minhagim and masorot. Bezat Hashem, we'll pick this up next time. Any questions before we end?
Yeah. This Barbara, should we say?
Vadai.
Should I say Kaddish for her?
Just say Borachum.
Borachum. Borachum.